Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing on in John, and this time we're looking at John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. And this passage is one of my favourite in the Gospel of John, as it really communicates the close depth of relationship between Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, but also between Jesus and us. As he is the vine and we are the branches, there is that organic, completely rooted in him connection, and it's just amazing. So I'm going to read the passage and then I'll do a short monologue from the perspective of one of the disciples. So, John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my commands, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. We leave the room we was in and start walking down the road, and I find myself lost in my thoughts as I reflect back on all that Jesus has been telling us. He has shown us that love and action are intrinsically linked, so much so that if we love him, we will keep his commands, following the way of life that he has shown us. And he also told us that this means we have to love others more deeply than ever before. In fact, we need to love others the way that Jesus loves us. He's taught us so much, and to be honest, I've been feeling a bit overwhelmed by it all. How can I measure up to what he does? How am I going to meet his expectations? Jesus talks about following him and keeping his commands, but he's just so good. How can I ever match him? I have all these thoughts and so much more swirling around my head, and I feel like it's just gonna break apart. It feels so crazy. And just as I'm beginning to feel all of this, Jesus looks around at the grapevines growing along the road. He lifts his hand to touch one of the vines, and then he turns around to us and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. I admit that I am a bit shocked and confused by what he says. Everyone knows that the vineyard is an image God uses to talk about Israel. God calls us his vineyard that he has carefully planted and tended with the expectation that we might produce fruit. Of course, God has also condemned our nation through the prophet Isaiah for not producing fruit despite all the care that God has given us. God was cross with Israel for not following his ways and becoming like the other nations instead, rather than being the shining example as God's chosen people. But now, Jesus is saying that he is the vine, and not just a vine, but the true vine. It's like he's saying that he is the perfect example of what obedience to God looks like, of showing God's love to the world, which, now that I think about it, actually kind of makes sense. I mean, Jesus has been demonstrating God's love, certainly far better than the Pharisees or the Sadducees or any of the other religious leaders have. It's what has kept me following him, because I have never felt as loved or known by God than since I've known Jesus. But then what did he mean when he talked about cutting off branches that produce no fruit and pruning those that do produce fruit? That sounds scary. Who are these branches? What does this mean? And almost as if he was listening to what I was thinking, Jesus answers my unspoken question. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We are the branches. Oh, wow. I don't really know how to react to that. He wants us to produce fruit, or we will be cut off and thrown into the fire and burned. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. How can he expect me to do this? What does he even want us to do? Okay, stop. You're just getting yourself worked up and not listening to what Jesus is actually saying. Pay attention. Jesus has told me what to do. Remain in me as I also remain in you. I just have to stay with Jesus, to keep following him, to keep listening to him and letting him guide me. I don't have to do this on my own. In fact, Jesus tells me I can't do it on my own. And I shouldn't even try, because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And he's right, of course. Apart from him, I can do nothing. I mean, just look at the life I was living before I met Jesus. I was just an ordinary fisherman, struggling to catch enough each day so that I could continue living for another day. There was no purpose, no point to my life before I met Jesus. But look at how things have changed since I met him. All the things I've seen and even done because of Jesus. He has changed my life forever. Of course I'm going to remain in him. I wouldn't want anything else. I certainly don't want to return to what my life was before. I can feel that my thoughts are beginning to calm. They're no longer swirling around my head. The pressure that had been building in me is now fading away. It seems that just like Jesus calmed the storm with just his words, so he is also able to calm the storm in my head with his gentle and wise words. I feel like I suddenly understand what Jesus means when he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Because I do feel a sense of peace and joy that I have never known before, as I recognise the depth of his love for us, a love the likes of which I have never experienced. I know that if I stick with Jesus, I will always have this deep joy in my heart, his joy. I mean, it's like following Jesus and living his way of life is the only way to really know joy, true joy. This revelation, so simple and yet so profound, almost brings me to tears as I realise what a gift Jesus has given me by allowing us to know his love. And he wants me, us, to love others with this amazing love. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. He expects us to willingly lay down our lives for our friends. Looking around at the other disciples, I wonder, could I? Would I lay down my life for them? I mean, I don't know if I could. I like my life, especially since Jesus came into it. I don't think I would willingly give it up. And yet Jesus is asking me to love with this kind of love. I know that if I was to try and do this on my own, there's no way I'd be able to love even a little bit like he does. But Jesus has told me to remain in him, connected to him like a branch connected to a vine. I'm not a farmer, but even I know that a branch dies if it is cut away from the vine, and it only continues to have life when it's connected to the vine. Well, I guess that means that I will only be able to continue to know Jesus' love and share it with others if I stay connected to him. So maybe I could do it, to lay down my life for my friends, but only if Jesus is with me, if he guides me. I don't know. I still think it's too much for me. But then again, I keep thinking that something is impossible, and then Jesus shows me that nothing is impossible for God. Everyone goes quiet as we continue our journey along the road. I feel like everyone is trying to process everything that Jesus has just said. And Jesus is just letting us take a moment for it all to sink in. The mood seems to have gone a bit somber with all this talk of sacrifice and death. They're not really topics that we talk about, certainly not things we like to talk about. So we just continue walking in silence. And then after a little while, Jesus says something that blows my mind a little. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Wow. Ever since I first began following Jesus, I have always known with certainty that I am inferior to him. He just carries this presence that speaks of wisdom and power and just sheer brilliance. And I know that he is much more than any man to ever walk the earth. I have always accepted that I am subservient to him, and I've always felt kind of honoured to have the opportunity to follow him, to be his servant, to learn from him. But now he's saying he's raising our status so that we are not merely servants but friends. He is removing the barriers of social status and hierarchy between us and allowing us into his confidence, teaching us not just some things, but everything. He chose us and is appointing us to go and bear fruit, to live in his ways and to share his love. Without Jesus, this would be impossible, but he has promised to remain in me if I remain in him. So I will follow his commands. I will follow his will and his ways. And I will love each other as he has loved me. Because after all, what else could I do?